This is Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It's the first day of July. Can you believe we've been in some form of lockdown or altered reality for almost 5 months now? Well, we're glad to have you with us through it all. Today, we'll hear about how corporate wellness programs will change and evolve as workers move to more remote work. And are you scared of going back to the dentist? We'll have some tips on navigating those visits during the pandemic. But now, our news update. As new hotspots and confirmed cases continue to grow across the country, the CDC has updated its guidelines for risk factors for the coronavirus. It got rid of the age category 65 and older. Instead, under the tab People Who Need Extra Precautions, there is a category called Older Adults. The page now explains that risk from a COVID-19 infection increases with advancing age. In general, people in their 50s are at a higher risk than people in their 40s. Likewise, people in their 60s and 70s are at a higher risk than those who are in their 50s. The CDC has also added a number of health conditions that make a person more at risk. 40 to 45% of people who contract COVID-19 most likely remain symptom-free, leading to a wider, silent spread of the virus. This comes from the Scripps Research Translational Institute in California. They also inferred that people who showed no COVID-19 symptoms were nevertheless liable to spread the virus over 14 days or more after infection. Furthermore, they warn that even people who have not experienced any symptoms may still face long-term effects following exposure to the virus. Summertime is usually all about traveling, piling your friends into a car, maybe crashing in an Airbnb, or couch surfing for free. But while we're in the midst of a summer of social distancing and new rules, how will all of this affect the sharing economy? We go now to Radio MD's Bill Klaproth.
Another victim of the coronavirus? The sharing economy. Think Lyft, Uber, Airbnb. Especially as our country has had difficulty controlling this crisis, these businesses' survival depends on convincing customers it's safe to share at a time when health authorities are warning everyone to keep their distance. And all of these types of businesses that rely on sharing have been impacted greatly. So some of these companies are seeking new ways to win over people's trust. Airbnb has created new cleaning protocols for hosts. Uber and Lyft now require drivers and passengers to wear masks. So businesses built around sharing are being forced to adapt to a reality where customers are far more cautious about anything that brings them in proximity with other people and potentially the virus. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
But there might be one new version of the sharing economy staying afloat during the pandemic, sharing your backyard pool. With many water parks and community pools shutting down for the summer to keep people apart, an article from USA Today suggests renting out your own water oasis. Sites like Swimply let you list your pool and set an hourly rate for rentals. Searchers in your area can log on and find available pools whose rental rates align with their budgets. The Centers for Disease Control has stated that COVID-19 is unlikely to survive in a properly chlorinated pool. So if you make certain to keep your pool clean, your risk of contracting the virus in the water should be relatively low. And the same holds true for your guests. Just make sure to keep any ladders, decks, and pool toys clean and disinfected. Many people were accustomed to company gym memberships and other wellness programs through their work before remote work started. And as jobs change and shift towards a possibly remote future after the pandemic, those wellness programs will also evolve. So what can employees expect, and what should companies do to start adapting now? Joining us today is corporate wellness expert Erica Zauner. So Erica, for those of us who may not have had wellness programs through work before, can you tell us just a bit about what those are?
Sure. So increasingly, you know, companies are investing in wellness programs to support the health and well-being of their workforce, and they take various forms. You know, many are focused on on-site programming, whether that's workshops and health fairs, gym discount programs, and you know, every company sort of has its own approach to health and wellness for its organization, but those are just a few. Yeah. And, you know, we've definitely seen a shift also in some of those programming options, you know, through the COVID period.
That kind of leads me into my next question. I mean, how do you see these wellness programs changing because of the pandemic? Is it just the setup or even some of the topics?
Yeah, well, definitely the setup, you know, taking everything virtual, and we've seen a ton of interest with clients doing virtual webinars. We've even gotten requests for virtual health fairs. I think it's both a combination of taking programming virtual and then also just leveraging all the digital resources out there to really bring wellness to people in their homes. For example, through our platform, we partner with apps like Talkspace and Calm Mindfulness, which are really accessible ways for employees to develop a mindfulness practice or just have a resource to help them through stressful times. And in addition to things like fitness streaming services, right? Because people can't get to the gym, or even as gyms start to open up, many people still don't feel comfortable going back to their normal routine. So the focus has really been on how do we bring wellness into people's homes, and especially in light of sort of the very hectic, or, you know, the different schedules and different priorities that people have, whether they have family obligations or caretakers. So how do we help people fit healthy living into their lifestyle as, you know, it changes during this time?
Yeah, I guess looking towards a future that is, you know, more partially or even fully remote, do you think there's going to be obstacles just keeping people active while they're working at home sometimes?
Definitely. I think a lot of people, like something that we've talked about on our team is, you know, you're home, you have access to, it's, you're sort of more inclined to be snacking. And I think, you know, people are thrown off their routine. So if they were going to a certain gym, just like figuring out, you know, how to replace that activity, or, you know, it's also just been a really stressful time for people, a lot of anxiety. And I think, you know, maybe working out is not the first thing on people. I think there's, you know, maybe not the first thing on people's minds, slash other people that have actually taken up a exercise practice during this time, because you're kind of in your apartment or house and need to, you know, blow up some steam.
Great. And just looking forward, do you have anything else you want to add that I didn't touch on, you know, just the future of company-sponsored wellness programs?
Yeah. So I definitely think that there will be a shift toward having more digital and virtual options for employees as companies, you know, slowly transition back to the workplace. But I think many are really, you know, considering whether to continue having more remote employees. And, you know, I think we will see a shift away from sort of the central corporate headquarters, and more flexibility around working from home or flexible work arrangements. You know, being able to continue to offer, make healthy living and wellness options accessible to employees, whether they're in the office or at home working remotely, will be a top priority.
Find out more about Erica and her company HealthKick at health-kick.com. The country is reopening whether we like it or not. And that return to so-called normal includes some healthcare offices that were closed during the height of the pandemic, like the dentist. Joining us today to talk about how to head to the dentist safely is Dr. Kyle Bogan, the owner of North Orange Family Dentistry in Lewis Center, Ohio. So Dr. Bogan, talk about what differences patients might expect heading back to their dentist after this long pandemic wait.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest difference that patients are going to experience when they come back into the office is really on the front side, how we interact with patients when they're checking in and doing paperwork and that sort of thing. You know, there no longer is there a waiting room. You know, in our practice, we're asking them to utilize their vehicles as their own personal private waiting room, you know, and social distancing and that sort of thing.
And how can we make patients feel safe heading back into the world at large, but especially these medical settings?
You know, I think the biggest thing, you know, dentistry is something that is kind of shrouded in a bit of fear to begin with. And then especially post-COVID-19, while we're still kind of dealing with this, even that much more so, you know, the anxiety around dentistry. And then for our practice, and I think a great thing for practices in general is just really upping the amount of communication to the patient. And so, you know, we already are really good about getting rid of the anxiety of the dental part. And now really it's just about patients are really wondering, how are they going to interact with us? And so what we did was, a very informative campaign, and what we walked them through visually, exactly what every step of the process is going to look like now and how it was going to be different from what they were used to. And, you know, that ranged from check-in and how that was going to work, you know, how they would be escorted back to their private rooms, the treatment changes that they might see, and how they would exit the building and take care of the checkout process. And so really, you know, upping the communication really put some of those fears to rest, I think, for our patients.
Now, how do you think this pause on dental care for the last few months will affect people moving forward, just the health aspect of it all?
Yeah, you know, for our practice, you know, we had a 6-week pause when we were kind of shut down, except for emergencies only. And what we've found is that, you know, things that weren't quote unquote emergency, you know, like toothache, pain, swelling, you know, some things like a broken tooth that wasn't hurting, while it wasn't classified as an emergency, you know, now some of those problems have worsened. So I feel, you know, there's a bit of a backlog for practitioners trying to catch up to take care of those patients. And I think patients are going to see that some of the treatments may become a little bit more involved than they would have been, you know, a couple of months ago if we weren't having that shutdown.
What challenges do you expect to have to overcome as a doctor in this, quote, new normal we're going to see?
Yeah, you know, one of the challenges for us as we've been getting back at it, you know, dentistry in general is a very, very social profession. We like to get to know our patients. Mm. And communication is a bit difficult in our new normal. You know, the different layers of masks and learning how to breathe under some of this and shaking hands, and really part of what we do in dentistry to make people feel at ease is really communicating on a personal level with our patients. And, you know, dentistry for me at the moment feels a little more sterile than I'm used to, just because, and not sterile in the cleanliness, but sterile in the fact that, you know, we're not able to really chat a whole lot. So the interaction, it's kind of like just business. So I think that's the biggest thing that I'm struggling with in the new normal, but we're managing pretty well.
Great. Dr. Bogan, any other messages for people like me who are dreading having to schedule another dentist appointment post-pandemic?
Yeah, you know, I would say my biggest piece of advice for people is try to get back into a normal oral health routine as soon as possible. The shutdown is a great excuse for people that don't love going to the dentist. Say, we'll just put that on the back burner. But dental practices have always been safe, and they're even more safe now. So I just encourage everyone to not let this COVID pandemic push off much needed care any further.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly. Shoot us an email with how you're handling all this corona news at COVID19@radiomd.com. That's COVID19@radiomd.com. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and 6 feet apart.